Hey, great to see all of you today. Everybody doing all right on Thanksgiving weekend? Good. Hey, you look pretty good. You've been sitting in and eating, and that's rain. I'm just here to tell you, if I didn't get paid, it'd been hard getting me out here this morning. Boy, it's rain and just on that tin roof at my house, and I'd been eating, tired, and weak in. But we had our kids over, and then they left. Praise God. It was a great weekend, and we had a good time, and they coming back, though, so that's good. But I'm glad you're here today as we kick off this Christmas season at this place we call Olive. Now, take your Bible and go to the book of James, and we're going to be looking at James during this five-week series. We're going to thematically launch from James 1, 16, 17, and 18, a five-part series of messages on good and perfect gifts. We're talking about gifts all during this season. Good and perfect gifts. And James writes about that. Now, as I said, and boy, what a great song that these folks did for us this morning as truth took us right into the Holy of Holies. You know, we've been studying in Hebrews where that Jewish writer, I believe Luke, wrote Hebrews. Nobody knows, but He was outside of Jerusalem writing to the Jews that were in Jerusalem. Now, when you come to James, you have a Jewish writer who is in Jerusalem writing to the Jews that have been dispersed from Jerusalem. It's just the converse. It's just the reverse. The Jew outside writing to those that are in Jerusalem saying, stay by the faith. Persist. Go into the Holy of Holies where that veil has been rent for you. But we come to James and we find James is the writer who is in the city. And now he's writing to those that have been scattered. They're in the diaspora, and he's writing to them. One of my young men that I led to faith in Christ out in Texas years ago, and he became a young preacher, he always said to me, Pastor, when I read the book of James, I call it the gospel in blue jeans. The gospel in blue jeans. That's always stuck with me, what that young preacher said to me, because James really gets down a faith without works, that you put on your jeans and you go to work. It's the gospel in blue jeans of what you do and how you apply the gospel. Well, this morning, I want you to look with me in James 1. In just a moment, we begin reading in verse 16 and read through verse 18. Gifts, good and perfect gifts. I've got 30 gifts right here in my pocket. Some of you love to hear the Isaacs sing. I've had several of you ask me about them coming here. Well, the Isaacs are going to be over in Orange Beach this Thursday night. These tickets are $30 a piece, and I've got 30 of them, and I'll give them to you. I'll give you one, two, and they're free to you if you want one this morning, all right? I've only got 30, and it's Thursday night. They'll be there giving gifts. It's great to give gifts, isn't it? Some of you got up early this week on that Black Thursday night and went to get gifts. I got a text from my daughter, said, Daddy, are you going at midnight to Target? I said, no, I don't think I'm going to make it. Nothing down there I need. You've been looking for gifts. Let me tell you one of the greatest gifts you could ever give this Christmas to a young family. I was picking on Elliot a little bit over here this morning, the Lawrences, but I'm telling you, if you know a young couple like that, you ought to buy them a ticket. It cost you $45 to Love Worth Fighting For. It's going to be right here. Kirk Cameron will be in the room. Kirk's going to be here. He's going to be teaching. He and his family be here and helping us in January 21, right? You buy that ticket, $45 for a couple. You ought to do it. You ought to come yourself, but you ought to give one to a young couple. You're looking for a gift to give. It's always good to give gifts. Get one of those devotional books. Liz and I have chapters in these devotional books right there. The one-year women's devotional. Liz wrote in that. Then there's the one-year devotional for men. And I've got a chapter in there. I did not write it. I asked somebody to ghostwrite it for me. I did. Being honest. And it's a young writer in our church that has been wanting to write. And so I said, listen, I've got to get this done, and I can't get it done. Would you do this for me? And that person said, I'll gladly do it. And they wrote my check. It's the greatest work I've ever done in any book. And you ought to get one of them and use it as the men's and ladies' devotion. Liz really wrote hers. I watched her do it. And I read after hers. And I asked somebody to do mine. And then I wrote my name to it and sent it in and took the money and gave it to the ghostwriter. Amen. All right, good. So it's gift-giving time. Amen? Gifts. Well, notice what James says in chapter 1, verse 16. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Don't be deceived. Don't be duped. Every good thing given, any gift you're going to receive, and every perfect gift comes down from the great gift giver, the Father of light. The only time that God is called the Father of lights in all of Scripture, right here in this text, the only time that this title is used, the Father of lights. Now, not these lights. Not the Father of spotlights. The Father of the sun and the moon and the stars. The one that hung them in place. Job says that God hung the earth on nothing and told it, stay right there. That God. And then he made the great light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. And then he flung the stars into the heavens. The Father of lights. Now I want you to know something about the sun and the moon and the stars. They vary. They change. The sun is burning up. And the moon, it looks different because we see it in its phases. And we all joke about it. Oh, it must be a full moon. Why? Well, that's when the counseling load goes up at church. Seems like all the crazies come out of the full moon. It looks different. The stars, some fall. But James says the Father of light never varies. He's always constant. He's always consistent. There is no shadow and there is no variation. He cannot be eclipsed. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, there is no darkness in him at all. This is the one who gives us gifts. His hand gives every, if you've got anything good in your life, it came from God. If you've got anything perfect in your life, it came from the Father. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation and there is no turning or shadow of darkness. Well, what are those gifts? Well, all these next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at those gifts. Next week, we're looking at ministry and love. And the following week, we're going to be looking at the gospel. And then the week after that, which is my 35th wedding anniversary, we're going to be looking at the gift of the home and marriage during Christmas on the 18th. And then, of course, Christmas morning is a Sunday. And we'll be looking at the greatest gift ever given, of course, in Christ our Lord on Christmas Day. But this morning, I want to lift right out of this text the gifts that I see right out of James 1, verses 16 through 18. There are two of them that I find here this day. So look at me, look with me at the gifts that are given here in this text. Number one is the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment. Now look at verse 16 again. It's very short, and it simply says, do not be what? Deceived. Do not be deceived. You ever been deceived? We've all been deceived, have we not? I mean, the wicked one, the devil himself, is the great deceiver, and he's deceived us all. He's sold us a bill of goods. He's told us if we'll go after selfishness, everything will be fine. We get to the end of that road, and we find, oh, no, no, no. Never forget the young man in Henrietta, Texas, that I went to see down at the car dealership one afternoon. And I said, Bill, how are you doing? He said, Pastor, I'm awful. I said, what? He said, I've been deceived. I said, how? He said, I've climbed the ladder of success and found it leaning against the wrong wall. Man, later I would hear that phrase and know that he read it in some book, but I'd never heard it before. He said, I was climbing, climbing, climbing. And when I got to the top, and I was the top set, I was deceived because fulfillment was not there. I'd been duped. Somebody had tricked me. Well, the first gift that I want you to understand God will give you today is the gift of discernment. Four times in the Word of God, four times in the Bible, it says, do not be deceived. Now, I want you to look at those four with me very quickly this morning. How are we to discern? We are to discern in four areas. Number one, we are to have discernment regarding salvation. Take your Bible, keep your finger in James, but go to 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Look what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Now, when I get to who you were, say amen in this text. Okay, here we go. And do you not know that the unrighteous, that's you. Okay, are you ready to start now? Okay, here we go. And do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Now, this may get a little dicey through this text here, all right? Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves. Nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. These folks are not getting in. But verse 11 don't stop. Aren't you glad he doesn't stop right there? Verse 11 says, such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You're not good enough to get in. Don't be deceived. Some of you think, well, if I'm just good enough, I'll get in. You're not that good. So you say, well, I can be saved. I can go to heaven when I die if my good just outweighs my bad. I'll agree with that. Your good never outweighs your bad. Why? Because we are these things. We are fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate and homosexuals and thieves and covetousness and drunkards and revilers and swindlers. And they don't inherit the kingdom of God. And such were many of us. But three things happened. He says, number one, you were washed. You remember the day when you were washed? Remember when you were washed by the blood of the Lamb? Remember when you got saved, saved, saved? You were washed. Then he says, but you were sanctified. You remember when you were sanctified? I talked about this Sunday night, last Sunday night. Some of you don't believe you're sanctified. Let me tell you, friend, if you're in Christ, you're as sanctified as you are saved. You see, sanctification is in Christ just like salvation is in Christ. You were washed, you were sanctified, and then this text says, and you were justified. Justified. If I were to die today, I'd stand before the throne of God and I'd stand there washed, sanctified, justified. I'd be clean. God would get me in. Oh, what I've done? Oh, no, no, no. How did these three things happen? In verse 11, it says, I was washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Don't you be duped. Don't be deceived. You'll try to talk yourself into believing you're good enough to get to heaven. Friend, you can't get there saved by the cross of Jesus Christ our Lord. The singers were helping us. We can now go to the Holy of Holies. How? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. There is the gift of discernment. Wise up. Number two. Not only is there the gift of discernment regarding salvation, there's the gift of discernment regarding friendship, regarding your friends. The second time we find this phrase is in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. If you've got your Bible, just turn a few more pages, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Notice what the Bible says. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupt good morals. You better watch who you're hanging out with. That's why some of you ought to come join this church today. You need some good friends. Now, don't hear me say that everybody you'll meet in this church will be good people. They're deceived people who sit in this room every Sunday. They're people who play a game, but they're a very minority view in this congregation. I meet very few honest folks that'll come but I met one yesterday. If you filled out one of those guest cards next Friday or Saturday, I'll call you. If you're under 25, I'll send you a text. I'm not going to call you and leave you a message because you're not going to listen to it. I'll leave you a message and then you'll just hit return and I'll answer my phone and say hello, and you'll say, who called me? I'll say, the same one left you a message. And you say, well, I don't listen to mine. Then why do you have that app on your phone? Well, anyway, I'm just running a rabbit there, but I called a family that visited us 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I called yesterday, and I said, sir, and called him my name. He said, well, my wife comes, but I don't come. I said, well, yeah. He said, I'm going to tell you why I don't come. I said, all right. He said, all that rapture and all that other crap y'all believe in, I don't believe in that. Those are not my words. That's his words, all right? I love that phone call. Most folks just lie. Most folks say, well, you know, thanks for calling, preacher, and I'll pray about it. He ain't going to pray about it. I love that. But you better be very careful if you're hanging around somebody that doesn't believe all the stuff this church believes. I'm not telling you don't be friends, don't be salt and light. We're going to talk about that at the end of this message. But when your best friends become unregenerate people and they dominate your life, you be very careful because it only takes a little leaven of their life to leaven your whole life. You move from here and go off to college, you be very careful. The folks you begin to run with. Because, I'm just telling you, this text teaches us. You want your morals corrupted. Don't be deceived. You think, well, I'll win them all. Let me tell you, friend, you're not going to win them all. If you're not careful, they'll win you. You be an influence, yes, but you make sure you've got the kind of fellowship. That's why some of you ought to come join this church today. That's why some of you ought to come cast your lot right here. You ought to link your life with some folks that love God and believe His book. Do not be deceived when it comes to salvation. Do not be deceived when it comes to friendship. Have some discernment. Thirdly, there's a third time the Bible says do not be deceived, and it's in Galatians 6 and verse 7. We need some discernment regarding our actions, our actions. In Galatians 6 and verse number 7, this is the verse that President William Jefferson Clinton put his hand on when he was inaugurated the first time president of the United States, when they held the Bible out, and his wife held the Bible and he put his hand on it. This is the verse he picked that he put his hand on, and then he raised his other hand. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. One who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from his Spirit reap eternal life." Don't be deceived about your actions. Be discerning. You cannot sow one thing and get something else. You sow the flesh, you get flesh. You sow the Spirit, you'll get Spirit. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I looked for an illustration of this week, and I had thousands. Just pick up the newspaper and you'll find this. Pick up the sports section, you'll find this. I mean, we find it in the Sandusky case at Penn State in the sports section. The one that intrigued me is the Herman Cain story. Did he or did he not? We don't know. I know this, that when Herman Cain was high in the poll numbers and people began to come out against him saying that he had done so and so, done such and such to so and so, now that his numbers have hit the bottom, I don't hear any more about it. I don't know if he did what they taught. I don't know that. I do know this, that if someone did that purposefully to him, they have sown corruption. And you can mark this down. If they've brought evil on a man that did not do it, I'm here to tell you, they will reap corruption themselves. And if Herman Cain did what they said he did years ago, then right before our eyes we are seeing a man reap what he planted. Just get your news journal today. I've already leafed through mine this morning. And what you sow is what you'll reap. You go to the second section of the Pensacola News Journal this morning, you'll find Olive Baptist Church. Picture in full color of the ministry of this church on page 1B. It's good news. Amen. Our people have been in the paper all week. I saw Roger Elliott is on the front page of the paper Thanksgiving morning. About trucking the turkeys. The free-range turkeys and the work they were doing. It was good. The next day, on Friday, I saw one of our men, a deacon in our church, and he's at the Waterfront Mission, and he's serving a meal. And he's sowing. And it's good. I opened up the paper this morning. I knew this article was coming. I went to see it. And there's some of our people trying to help others get jobs. And they're sowing. And it's good. Let me tell you, what you sow, you will reap. Flesh, you get flesh. Spirit, you get spirit. You say, "Preacher, I've been doing good and I've been getting a bunch of junk." Well, hang on. The eternal crop hadn't come in yet. God's the one who gives the harvest. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't think you can get spirit through flesh. Can't do it. You must sow to the Spirit to reap eternity. Do not be deceived about your salvation. Do not be deceived about friendship. Do not be deceived about your action. And then right here in this text, what he says is, do not be deceived about your sin. Regarding sin, he says, do not be deceived. What's he talking about in James 1:16? We have to go back to the context of verses 13, 14, 15. And notice what he says. Let no one say when he's tempted, "I'm being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, for he himself does not tempt anyone. It's James 1, verse 13, coming before this verse. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed of his own lust. But when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Hear me, friends. If you think you can go out and live like a hellion and it not come back on you, you are dumber than a sack of rocks. That's my translation of James 1:16. Now, don't be deceived. You can't have lust and then it not conceive and bring forth sin, and then that sin, when it's run its course, will not bring forth death. I talked about it with Roger and asking about this group and the several that have spun out of here and done great things. But I guarantee you there's a long list that used to sing here that could crash and burn. See, it's not your smile or your voice. It's lust and sin and death. And all of us know them. And if we're not careful, we will be one of them. We need the gift of discernment to be wise about these things. Gift number one, discernment. Gift number two this morning is found in verse 18 of James chapter 1. I want you to look at it with me. And it is what I call the gift of influence. The gift of influence. We see discernment, but secondly then we see the gift of influence. Look in verse 18 of James chapter 1. In the exercise of his will. This is how God saved you. Watch this. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The word of, there's a good word for this morning. It was the word of truth. Truth that came forth. The word of truth, the gospel, came forth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's truth, the word of truth. By the word of truth and the exercise of his will, he brought us forth. And after he brought us forth, he made us to be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. A kind of first fruit. What kind? All kinds. All kinds. God needs varied kinds of first fruit among his creatures. But who's he talking about here? Where's James? James is in Jerusalem. He's writing to those that are dispersed. He's writing to the Jews. He's saying in this text that the Jews are the first fruits. And the Jews are to be that seed, that kernel. And out of them is going to come forth your salvation and mine. Friend, let me tell you, if some Jew hadn't have been faithful to the gospel, you wouldn't be here today. They received it in that first century. And then they scattered it around the world. Through people like the Apostle Paul, that Jewish writer, the truth is gone forth. And here James is saying, God is saying, I, by the word of truth, I drew you to myself, and then I made you a kind of first fruit. Now you take the first fruit, and then you take the seed, and you plant it, and it multiplies, and you plant it, and it multiplies. You remember this summer when I preached all summer long to you about summer fruit? Summer fruit? Well, the harvest has finally come at my house. It's in. We gathered up oranges, and they were just, I couldn't believe it. It was just, and you remember my old lemon tree that we cursed all summer? And I wanted to cut it down because it wasn't going to do anything, and it brought, you know, and I got lemons like my fists. They're there. And I'm just getting them one at a time. I'm not smart enough to know exactly when to pick them, but I know when they get yellow. The first year that they bore fruit, I thought they were limes. They were not. They were just green. But then the lemons started coming, and so my wife loves tea. She drinks tea all the time, and so I'll go out and get one of those, and we'll cut it up, put it in. But you wait all the harvest, and finally the fruit comes. And then I'm about to figure out, I've never known much about all this pruning and everything. I know what that means in John 15 spiritually, but I'm learning. Some of you are helping me, and some of you think you know more than you do, but that's another sermon. But and so everybody gives me information and tells me when to cut it and all that stuff. But I'm looking out there, and they're just, they're there. And I didn't even see them coming. They just, bang, they just did. And they were hiding, and were down low, and all of a sudden, I've just got fruit. What kind of fruit? Friend, I can't have but one kind of fruit coming out of that tree. Lemons. It's all it'll give me. Because it's the first fruit of what's in the ground. And we are to be the first fruits now. The Jews were early, but now it's your turn. You are to be an influencer. An influencer. Everybody in this room has influence. Everyone. Now, I want you to look at the end of your row today. Everybody, at the end of the row, there are some white cards like this. Guest, even our truth. I want truth folks. I want you to take one because you can utilize it. Sharon, how good are you? She didn't even have this card about an hour ago, and the scanner is broke. How'd you do that? Will you tell me after a while how you work magic, all right? So don't be over here being a smart aleck and telling me how she did it, all right? I'll deal with you later, okay? Hey, I gave these out last Sunday night. Now I want everybody to take one and then leave them at the end of the row for the next crowd coming in. It's called Home for the Holidays at Olive Baptist Church. It's everybody being an influence. And here's what I want you to do. Number one, there's a box there. Say, yes, I'll be present. Okay, Pastor, I'm coming. I'm coming all during December. I'm going to be here. You're not going to give me this card back. You're going to keep this card. All right? I want you to check that box. I'll be present. Then, three people, three friends I will invite and pray for. I have two on my list so far. I have three people, but one's a couple. Still praying through and trying to find. So you say, well, preacher, that guy you called the other day might be a good one. Yeah, amen. He is. He's a prospect. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to give you three people that within the next 5 weeks you're going to get after. And here's what I want you to get after. Number one, I want you to get after somebody who's lost. They don't go to church. I'm here to tell you they will come to church with you on Christmas Eve. They will come now faster on Christmas Eve than they will come on Easter. Christmas Eve is a magnet for inviting lost people. They will come. And if you will bring them, we will preach the gospel to them. We will not embarrass them. We will not embarrass you. You will hear the gospel. There will be great, glorious music. And we'll have a great time. But you invite them, not just on Christmas Eve, but any time. But I want you to find a lost person, and I want you to begin to bring them to this place during the Christmas season. Then, on the second two lines, I want you to look around and I want you to think, you know, I've not seen him in a while. I wonder where he's been. I want you to write that name down. I want you to begin to pray, and I want you to invite. I want you to send an email. I want you to send a Facebook. I want you to go over and say hello and go to their house or bake them a pie. Do whatever you need to do, but I want you to get after them. I want you to bring them. These are folks that have gotten cooed. Now watch this. Some of you right now have taken that card and you've slipped it in your Bible and you've said, I'm not going to do that. Write your own name on here. Write your own name. Begin to pray for you. Because you're not an influencer. You're just a taker. You're not a giver. You just want somebody to do for you. You don't. I'm telling you, friend, God called you and saved you to be a first fruit. He saved you to serve, not to sit and sour, sulk and complain. So go ahead and write your name on there. And when God deals with you, then write somebody else's name on there. All of us know somebody. You say, preacher, I'm scared. Amen. You ought to be scared. That's good. That means this is over you. If you could do it, we'd all be doing it. I don't know how to talk to people. Well, you do. If your team won yesterday, you know how to talk. If your team won week four last, you know how to talk. If you found a bargain on Friday morning, you know how to talk. See, whatever's in your heart, you know how to talk. Friend, just begin to love on Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, you'll begin to love on folks that are around you. Yeah. The gift of influence. We do upward basketball here. My son is the director. Bennett told me, he said, Dad, we got so many teams, I've run out of coaches. And he said, it's so bad, I am going to have to coach a team. And so Bennett's coaching. He never played basketball. He played upward. He still holds the record in Olive Baptist Church for fouling out the most and the quickest. Still, it's there. I mean, it just, you know, just let him send him in first, get it over with, you know, and then there's people, bodies scattered everywhere, and then he comes out. So he called me. He said, I know you can't do it all the time, but would you come by and help me a little bit? I said, well, okay. I really don't want to. But I showed up at practice last week. There's 8 kids. 6 of them I never met in my life. They don't know me and don't care. They just call me coach. Some of them come to church here and they say, you're the... I said, yeah, but don't tell. I meet old Richard. Trying to teach Richard how to play defense. Richard can go. I mean, he's like 11. He's between the leg, behind his back. Not big as a bar of soap, but he can handle the ball. Did you know upward is really great because kids run and sweat and work out, but you know what upward's really all about? It's about this card. It's about influence. It's about going to Richard's house and reaching Richard and meeting his mama and his daddy if he's got one. I don't know the answer to that question. It's about little Leroy, my buddy I've been talking to you about. It's been coming in here. I love Leroy. Leroy's better than most of us because Leroy brought his neighbor last week. He didn't even have to have a card. There's one more thing I want you to do with this card. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 to stimulate one another to faith and good works. I want you to ask each other, who are you bringing? Who are you bringing? Who are you bringing? The pastor said I could ask. You got anybody on your card? Stimulate one another. The message says find creative ways to stir one another up to do right. So just ask. You don't have to see it. Just say, have you written anybody's name down? Are you doing it? Everybody in here has influence. And God saved you by the word of truth so that you could be a kind of first fruit that influences other people. Some of you say, Pastor, I'm not a member of this church. I've never been saved, but I ought to be. And what I want you to do is bring this card right now when we sing this song. I want you to bring this card to me. I want you to bring it right here to me and say, Pastor, I'm ready today. I want to trust Christ. I need to join this church today. I'm coming today. Today's my day. I'm coming today. We'll give you another card. You can fill it out. Just bring this one for your own self this day. So it's your day for you to come and say yes, yes, yes unto the Lord.